Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Saturday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Elijah message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you have any prayer requests, I pray with you. If I have any question about the lesson, I do my best in the Lord Jesus to answer it for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you call in and get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord been sending to his angel messenger, I will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like doing your prayer requests over your air or asking questions, contact me at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And I, once again, will get back to you. Amen. For those of you just listening, if you don't mind, won't you join me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for the blessed day that you have blessed us to see and another opportunity that you've given us to assemble together in your name. And dear Lord, we come here not to take it for granted or to squander it, but Lord, to come to petition you to be with us as we take this journey into this lesson again. Father, we pray that through your spirit, you would enlighten us, bless us with understanding and wisdom. But Lord God, help us to see like you see. And Lord God, help us, Lord God, to become stronger believers in Christ Jesus. Help us to arise to a greater faith in Jesus' almighty name. And Lord, we will give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for another blessed day for all of you listening. Welcome to those of you listening here in the United States and Canada and Uganda. Welcome. Welcome to those of you listening in Japan, United Kingdom, the Netherlands, and every country that I have not named. I want to welcome you to this broadcast. Today we are on a new but not so new series. And it's still dealing with the second century church. And I want to say this part may go one or two parts. And I want to say this personally. There, especially, and once again, I love all the word of God. Don't get me wrong. But there are certain things that the word covers that really really touches me and on this particular subject. And this subject I'm going over, I did on the series dealing with the first century church. And now I want to do it on the second, on this century of the second, this series, excuse me, of the second century church. But the title of this is The Second Century Church Facing Persecution. And when I look at persecution for Jesus' sake, it's very, very serious to me. And when I speak on persecution, I know not only think about what we are facing that is yet to come, but I think about my brothers and sisters who are facing it right now in the other countries. When you hear me do any kind of series on persecution, it is not to scare you as a Christian, but it is to warn you and to hopefully make you to be alarmed to the warning that Christ has given us in the scriptures about what we're going to face. Now, some of us as Christians, let's be honest, we are taking the warnings for granted. And we have taken the mentality that, hey, I'm in Jesus, everything's fine, blah, 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 you know. So when Jesus gives us in his word about preparing, we don't prepare. That's just plain and simple. We don't prepare. And many of us is wrapped up on how to get money. And I'm not doing a sermon here preaching against money. And I'm not doing a sermon here trying to make money the number one thing like some have. But I see among the Christian community when the Lord cautions us about being, you know, quote, and I'm gonna paraphrase it this way, being wrapped up with our minds on the things of this world, we did not take heed. And some of us is trying to run, as they say, run with the Joneses. And I'm talking about as Christians, trying to see how much money we can get. You know, some of us as Christians say, hey, I don't want to be rich, but I want to be comfortable. So we're all centering and furthering ourselves in this present life in the things of this world. Now, I'm not speaking against people being their own entrepreneurs or doing certain things in the world. I'm not doing it. But what I'm saying is, when we shift our focus more to seeking that, it is going to be a problem, okay? It's going to be a problem because we're going to end up neglecting what the Lord has told us to do concerning the things of God and in him, and especially when he gives us through his word how to prepare. We'll neglect that because we won't prepare. Because why? We're too much wrapped in the things of the world, trying to get ahead, trying to do this and trying to do that. Once again, the name of this part of the series is the Second Century Church Facing Persecution. And as of late, I've been trying to go through somewhat history with you guys. And once again, what I'm giving you is not providing, quote, all of the history. Hey, search it also yourself. But what I'm giving to you all and going through will answer a couple of questions, especially off the bat. Number one, if we are all Christians claiming to serve in the same God, then how come Christianity is so divided against itself today? How come we are so broken up in fragments, so many churches? Why is that? And for others of you who hear us talk to you about Jesus sending the Elijah, and you're wondering, what do the Lord have to send an angel for? And your guy saying, restore all things. Restore what? Well, one of the things is the church. Okay? And you say, well, why would the church need to be restored? Because she did not continue the way that Christ first established her. Now, I know and realize for some of you, this is not a message that some of you really have heard, either from your pastors or from big-time televangelists you watch on TV or go to see or whatever. You know, you're wondering, like, okay, why don't I hear this message? And there are different reasons why, okay. But what I want to get to in dealing with today is that the Church of Christ did not continue establish the way Christ set her up. Now, I don't care what kind of big-time televangelist you are, or how popular you are, how many people you got in your congregation assembly, you cannot prove to me through the Bible that the way Christianity is set up now, that Christ set it up that way. You couldn't prove it. You couldn't prove it. Because Jesus set up one church to all to be one. Faithful believers flowing together as one. That's what he did. He didn't set up a bunch of different denominations, okay? Now, I'm not here to personally offend anyone by the statement I just made, but that's the truth, okay? And too many of us as Christians, when it comes to that truth, we're turning our ears away, and we are turning a deaf ear to the truth. Now, the second century church, now I deal with the first century, the second century church faced persecution. Persecution was one of the contributing factors. Notice I said one, because there was other things that I've been going over with you guys about that was contributing factors to the destruction of the early church, and one of them was persecution. And I'm not talking about just verbal harassment or punishment, but also physical harassment or punishment. If you look at how Satan operates when he comes against the church, especially when he's using men, many times it starts off as verbal persecution, like, you know, mocking us and, you know, making fun of you and talking about you and saying all kinds of rude stuff about. And then after that, especially when man whom Satan is using see that the verbal content of what they're saying to you is not really affecting you, then they escalate it to physical. Okay. Now, here in America, and I'm going to get ready to go on in a minute here, to plainly put it, and I know some of us as Americans don't like to hear this because they, you know, some you get your lip poked out and you know, Brother Nate, you this, you that. But first thing I want to say, we have yet to see the level, now hear my words, the level. I'm not saying we none of us here in America as Christians have never went through. I'm not saying that, but please hear what I'm saying. So you won't misconstrue what I'm saying to you. Because some of you, when I say this, you go, well, I've been going through trial. I have went through trial. I didn't say you never went through a trial. But listen to this. Here in America, we have not faced yet, or yet with quotation marks around it, the level of persecution that our brothers and sisters in Christ are facing in the other countries now. We haven't faced it yet. And my question is, if you live here in America and you want to say, you show me where. Okay. Our brothers and sisters in the other countries are getting killed, beaten, you name it, for the gospel's sake. They are in other countries either who God is Buddha or Hindu and stuff like that. And see, what Satan does through these, through man who believe in these other gods, he says, hey, we can't have them preaching this Jesus. We got to do something. So not only do they do something by verbally speaking or persecuting or harassing or punishing, but they upgrade it to physical. Now, right now here in the United States, you know, I can go out in the street. I can even stand on the side of, you know, and if some stores would allow, I can even go in front of the store and, you know, not harass people, but have, you know, little papers on Jesus and stuff. I can do that, okay, without worrying about the police pulling up in the parking lot, beating me with the club and throwing me in a grill. Well, see, in other countries, they got to deal with that. See, in other countries, it ain't just, quote, regular citizens that's doing it, but you have, there are those in the police. The police is kicking the door down. The police is beating the people up in there for having worship service to Jesus in their homes. You know what I'm saying? The police is doing that. They're beating them and then they dragging them out. Okay. Now, I was wondering, I was like, oh, you know, and my mind, you know, fell on this and I think, okay, Lord, how do you want me to go by this on this part of the series? So, what I'm going to do, okay, thank the Lord, hallelujah. I'm going to open up with some scriptures, and then I'm going to go into some reading contents of research in a couple areas. One from a book called Christian Martyrs of the World that gives us the account of the history of our brothers and sisters in Christ, the persecution they went through. And then the other thing is I'm going to read from a more modern, and I have a book, and some of you who have listened to the broadcast may have heard our brother Eddie Lee mentioned that he gets this book, and I don't know if he get his money or not. I get it, and I just got it's called Voice of the Martyrs, okay? And I'm going to read an excerpt from that as well. So let's start off with the scriptures, and let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, let's go to verse 12. Now, I pray that you, first of all, as Christians that's listening, I pray that you will hear through this message here and get yourself prepared in Christ. Now, I know that, and I'm giving you guys time to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. I know that many of us in the Christian community are preaching to you guys and say, any day you can be gone. Any day you can be snatched up. You won't see the great tribulation. We're putting the whole nine yards. Now, here's my stance in that. Through what I've seen in the Word of God. I wish that was true. I wish that was true. Number one. Number two, from what I've seen from the Word of God and what's happening today, is that if we here in America can get snatched up at any day and not have to suffer the great tribulation, which in the great tribulation is going to be great persecution, then our God will appear to be biased or respect the person. Well, you say, why you say that? Because right now, fellow Christians, men and women in the other countries, are facing the highest level of persecution that you can face. So why let them face that? And we look at it any day now, we can be snatched up. You, any of you guys that's preaching pre-tribulation rapture, and I'm not trying to hear to try to confront you, blah, 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 but you explain that to me. Why? Why would God allow us here in America to experience a little something here and there, okay? But you got men and women who have fully accepted Jesus Christ in their heart, fully accepting as Lord, being persecuted to the greatest degree, losing family, losing loved ones, losing limbs, getting their head cut off, you name it, thrown into prison, left to die, to hunger, all of that. And but we get any day now. Now, I know you said, well, that's including the Christian other country. But yeah, but look what the level of stuff they're going through for the name of Christ. And we're over here in America, and we know we feel like, hey, I need a vacation. We can go run out and sit on the beach. And somebody walk by, we can say, hey, I'm a Christian. They might, you know, someone may look at you like you're crazy and keep walking. But you ain't got to worry about saying, hey, I'm a Christian. They turn around and say, oh, you are, and pull out their club and start knocking you side of the head. Ain't no exaggeration, people. Ain't no exaggeration. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Now, look what the Word of God says. Please hear this. Please hear this. Because remember that the Word of God, much of the Word of God that talks about things that happened then, goes from then up to now to what? To the final return of Christ. Now, he says, verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly. Now, hear this, that will live godly in Christ Jesus. Because, see, that's the only true way you can live godly, people. You got to live godly in Christ. You got people trying to do stuff outside of Christ. That's when you're dependent on your own strength, your own credentials, you name it. You're going to fail. Because if you could do that, then there was no need of Christ suffering, being crucified, and resurrected for us. There would be no need. That would be in vain. Okay. So he said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall, not might, not maybe, not possibly, but shall suffer what? Persecution. Hear that? You hear that? Now, some of you that's listening, perhaps you're not a Christian. You're going, but man, what I want to be a Christian for? I got to go through being persecuted. What I want to do that for? Well, let me explain something to you here. It's better to suffer for Christ, where your reward is definitely sure, where you would definitely spend eternity with the Lord Jesus forever, in total peace, not have to worry about no torment or nothing anymore, then you did not accept Christ and die and go to hell. Because understand this, if you die and go to hell without accepting Christ, you know what you got to look forward to? Here's the words, everlasting torment. Did you hear what I said? So I'd rather go through now with the benefits of the reward being everlasting peace forever with Christ. Ain't got to worry about no being tormented anymore and going to live with him forever than to reject him, die in my sins, and going to a place that's reserved for what? Those that didn't want to follow Christ. And then when I'm going to that place, then the time will come that place, along with the devil that would be influencing me, is going to be put into a place called the lake of fire and brimstone, where there is endless forever torment. You get what I'm saying? So I thought I'd throw that out there to those of you that's Christians, not Christians, and listening, and I let you choose, okay? Now, he said, those that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So listen, Christian, you that think that, oh, this shouldn't be happening to me. I'm a Christian, and now you're mad at God. The Lord Jesus said, when you make the choice to live for Christ, to live godly, to live holy or righteous, you're going to suffer persecution. You're going to suffer people verbally, and some going to get to the degree of physically punishing you, okay? See, this is why I said that, you know, some of us as Christians, we won't heed the warning. So when it happened, we act like we'd never, you know, I don't expect it. This shouldn't have happened. This not, well, you're being warned in the word. And so this is what happened with the second century church. Many of the second century church who chose to live godly, those who chose to live godly, suffer persecution. Now, here's the thing about where it also contributed in the destruction of the early church. Not only did Satan set out to kill many of the faithful, but there was those of the Christians among them who renounced Christ. Did you hear that? That's another way that contributed to the destruction of the early church, because there was some in the church, because of them being persecuted, they couldn't take it. And they said, I don't know if I want to remain a Christian. I think I'm going to renounce. And they renounced Christ. See, everyone that was of the church at that time didn't just face the persecution in the Lord like they should and stood. There were some that did turn away. Why? Because they're persecuted. And guess what? It's happening today. Some of you may know some people that you like, man, they was the biggest, you know, wow. You know, they was the biggest, you know, church. Go all the way talking about the Lord. Now, when they face some kind of mockery and all that because they're a Christian, because I have faced that. I had people call me, oh, you Mr. Goody Two Shoes, and, you know, making out a little sly remark. But see, some people can't take that. That's why some of us as Christians, we won't, and I'm not saying go broadcast on the horn, but we don't stand as far as when we're being addressed like, are you a Christian? Are you saved? Some of the first thing we said, well, you know, I don't do everything right. That's not the question what you was asked. The question you was asked was, are you a Christian? Are you saved? And see, some of us, we're getting to a point where we're becoming ashamed to even answer yes. So we're getting up there and we're telling people, say, well, you know, I don't do everything right. Well, let me tell you something. I ain't seen no Christian that did everything right. Now, am I condoning sin? No. But I ain't seen no Christian do that. So please, don't use that answer when that question is approached to you, because it's a cop-out. Just like, well, there have been people that ask me, you know, they found out something about me in that area, or they've heard the way, and some of them have asked me the question because they heard the way I speak. And they ask me, say, you might be a preacher. And I tell them, yeah, that's what I tell them. When they ask me, are you a preacher? I don't say, well, you know, I don't do everything right. I don't preach everything right. I don't do that. I answer them, yes. And it's not an answer for me to make them think that I'm better than them. It's an answer where I'm asking your question straight out. Yes, I am a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you got too many people ashamed to admit it. And that's even what happened with some in the early church. Because the persecution was coming so that, you know, they couldn't handle it. And they, oh, man, they're going to talk about me. And, you know, you got some people now that claim to be Christian. They can't take it, nobody talking about them. So their, quote, life as a Christian, they keep it under wraps. So when they get among sinners, they act like what the sinner. They going out drinking and smoking and doing the party here and there and shaking to the left and the right. They doing all this stuff. And then when they're being addressed about, are you a Christian, they clam up. You know, amen. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35 to 38. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35 to verse 38. Okay, amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 35 to verse 38. Okay, glory be to God. Okay, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35 to verse 38, the word of God says, Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Okay? And see, this is what happened with the early church. Hallelujah. I sense the Holy Ghost. When they was being brought to the point, just like I read, and I don't think I've read it yet in the Christian Martyr of the World book or the research, they give an account of what happened to many Christians during that time. But there were some Christians, when it's like when they were being brought, like one of the things that was done to some Christians during the time of the early church was that they would bring you to like in the middle of a center of like of this village. This is how they persecuted and killed many of the Christians. And they would put you in the center of the village, and they would tie you to like this pole light, okay? And the people of the village would gather around. And it was these things, and I forgot what they called. I think they called faggots or something like that, where that if you light them, they light up real fast. You light it with fire, they light up quick. And when they would put you and tie you to that pole, have you sent in the village, and they will ask you once again for, you know, about you believing in Christ. Do you believe in Christ and all that? And if you wouldn't renounce Christ while those things there around you, they would set it on fire so the fire can burn you up alive while the people in the village watch. Now, the Bible said here, some were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection. Well, if you resurrected in Christ, having done good, you're going to be in a better resurrection. But if you renounce Jesus, hallelujah, in the time of your persecution and turn away from him, totally renounce him, you think you're still going to the bust the pearly gates wide open, huh? And you didn't renounce him. The Lord tells us in what book of Hebrews, what is it, chapter 10, that they that willfully, you know, sin, you know, against this life, this knowledge that they've been given, willfully, there's no more sacrifice for sin. You got some Christians talking about once saved, always saved. That ain't true. We serve a smart and wise God, not a dumb God, not a God where you can just, you know, renounce him and talk bad at him, and still you going up to heaven. Verse 36 said, and others have trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, more of a bonds and imprisonment. That don't sound like the five-star hotel, now, does it? Then it goes on to say, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. My God. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, and these all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Okay? God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect or complete. You understand that? They obtain a good report through their faith. So those that stood in the midst of the persecution, even physically persecuted in the second century church through their faith, even though they may have been burned alive at the stake and been killed, they still go on to be with the Lord. They did not renounce Christ. One of the biggest things that the devil wants us to do is renounce Jesus, period. That's what he wants. He wants you to renounce Jesus. The other thing, he wants you to fall down and worship him. Okay? But he wants us to renounce Christ. So this is the one of the center things of the persecution that is going on in the other countries, and that's going to escalate here. What they're going to want you to do? Renounce Jesus. This is why the world is telling you stuff like love and peace means tolerate and accept abominations. Why? Because they're slowly trying to get you, along with the enemy, to renouncing Christ. They're trying to get you to accept all these other religions and let that get in your heart to a point that you will renounce Jesus as being, even as being Lord. Because why? You're going to be and accept all these other religions, all these other gods in your heart. You're going to end up to a point where you start saying, well, you know, I really don't know if Jesus really is the Lord, that's the Savior.
Because, see, you got to be careful what you let. Remember, the gates or the gates to the heart is what? Eyes and ears. Okay, what you look at, what you see, what you hear. And we got to be careful. Okay, amen. So that's the thing that's going on there. Okay, hallelujah. These people during the time of the second century church, they were sawn asunder. They was tempted. They were slain with the sword. You know what? Do you know that's still happening now in the other countries? Yeah, see, some of y'all think, when I mention this, you think I'm joking. This is no joke, people. And no, you're not going to have NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, Fox News. They're not going to report on it. If you wait for the news to report on it, you're wasting your time, okay? They're not going to report on this, people. And if you look at the way our nation's going now, if something is done, and I'm just going to be straight honest with you when I say this, it got to start getting to the point, if something was done like to a Muslim here in this country, you'll get it on the news. But when it comes to a Christian, because you can, and if you ain't been really looking at it, you can fast see what the thought is about a Christian, okay? And many of them think, and many think Christians are dumb and stupid. You know, I'm just being honest, okay? Amen. Now, I want to read to you a little research here out of a book called Christian Martyrs of the World, Fox Christian Martyrs of the World, and I think I have the 1985 edition, but yet still it gives you some insights to amen, to what happened with the early Christians, amen, during the time of the early church. I want to read a little bit to you about, and it's titled The Second Persecution, and this is going to be under the first century, and then I get into the second century, because I didn't read this this part here when I was doing the first century persecution, but I'm going to read to you one of the leaders of the Roman Empire, and remember, I last read to you out of first century where one of the Roman emperors named Nero, who was considered by many probably the most ruthless emperor against Christians. Okay, many consider him to be. And I want to read about another one during the first century that was persecuting the Christians. And this is titled Under the Second Persecution. And this one, and I hope I pronounce his name, is Domitian, D-O-M-I-T-I-A-N. Okay, excuse me if I'm pronouncing it wrong. Praise be to God. But Domitian was a cruel and savage tyrant who not only persecuted the Christian, but also put to death some of the chief citizens of Rome to get money to pay for the games and entertainments he gave to amuse the people. The rich were plundered of a large part of their wealth. Okay. Then it says, many were the accusations brought against the followers of Christ. They were charged with holding disorderly nightly meetings. Now that's going on even in the other countries. Now, you know, especially over there, like I think it's at China. I think there was a China president back here a few years ago. If you look at the terms in U.S. money, he was offering $1,500. If you can tell them where they're having these, quote, secret meetings. You're talking about Christians having the meetings, you know, because they have the underground church over there. Hallelujah. Now, it says here, they were charged with holding disorderly nightly meetings, with being of a rebellious, turbulent spirit, of murdering their children, and even of being cannibals, okay? This is what the world would do. They would come up with trump up charges against a Christian. They said, and listen to this closely right here, because they got to blame. I'm going to show you where the blame game even went more. It says, if famine or pestilence or earthquakes afflict any of the Roman provinces, these calamities were said to have been sent by the gods to punish the Christians. But get this, it's affecting the Roman provinces, okay? The persecution, naturally enough, increased the number of informers. And many false witnesses, for the sake of gain, swore away the lies of the innocent. Wow, false witness, liars, you name it. You know, the Christian were getting accused at that time, being put to death off lies. When Christians were brought before the magistrates, a test oath was administered, and if they refused it, death was pronounced against them. Do you hear that? Well, guess what, people? Get ready. Because, hallelujah, a test oath is going to be proposed to you about your belief in Christ. Now, it said if they confessed themselves Christians, the sentence was the same. The various kinds of punishments and cruelties inflicted were imprisonment, racking, burning, scourging, stoning, hanging, and worrying by wild beast. Many were forced to fall headlong from high places, and others were thrown upon the horns of wild bulls. After having perished under these cruelties, the poor privilege of the burying the dead bodies were refused their friends. Now, some of you here heard just what I read. You might went, quit reading that. Quit reading. Listen, I'm not reading this for entertainment. I'm reading this that hopefully you and some of you as Christians who are just lackadaisian around, okay, or I put it this way, taking for granted that we need to prepare, I hope that you hear this information and it stirs you to say, hey, I got to get myself in the Lord. Because the only way you're going to be able to survive this greater persecution that's about to arise is that your faith is going to have to be rooted in Jesus through his word, through his spirit, point blank. If your faith is rooted in things, those of you out there talking about, I don't want to be rich, I want to be comfortable, and you out there seeking the things of this world, it's dead up front. But when it comes to the word, you throw it under the bed. You ain't got time for it. You got time to get in. You ain't got time to study. You ain't got time to pray. And only prayer you throw up is when you need some, when you're going out the door. Oh, Lord, help me get the car. I need a new car. God bless, Lord. Hey, amen. Boom, you out the door. Okay? And the other time, God don't even hear from you. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Now, let's go to this second century persecution. AD 108, second century persecution. This is entitled the third persecution under Trajan. Nerva, who succeeded Domitian, who I just read about, only reigned 13 months. Trajan then became emperor and began the third persecution against the Christians. While it was raging, we are told that Plinius Secundus, a heathen philosopher, wrote to the emperor in favor of the Christians, saying that he found no harm in them, and that the whole sum of their error consists in this, that they are wont at certain times appointed to meet before day and to sing certain hymns to one Christ, their God, to promise to abstain from all theft, murder, and crime, to keep their faith, and to defraud no man. This being done, they gather together to take bread and wine and then quietly depart without committing any evil act. To this letter, Trajan returned this uncertain reply, that Christians need not to be sought after, but when brought before the magistrate, they should be punished. My question, for what? Okay. Provoked by this answer, Tertullian exclaimed, "O unjust sinners, he would not have them hunted down because they are innocent men, and yet would punish them the same as the guilty." The emperor's meaningless reply, however, caused the persecution in some measure to abate, as his officers were uncertain if they carried on with too much severity how he might choose to explain his own order. So Trajan, even though a heathen, was testifying to him and said, and basically I'm going to paraphrase this, saying, no, Christians, they ain't doing nothing wrong. They just go there and worship their God and, you know, have meetings, and then, boom, they adjourn their meeting. Not doing no evil to no man, but then Trajan says, hey, well, don't need to seek the Christians, you know, to seek after them, but if they brought to the magistrates, they should be punished. And you go, wait a minute now. Punish for what? Okay? Punish for what? Well, see, he had to come up with something. And see, that's what they're going to do against you, Christian. They're not going to be able to find nothing on you, you walking in the Lord, right? So they got to come up with something. And so even if you say, well, okay, if you admit that I ain't did nothing wrong, why are you punishing me? People, I hope you see the bigger picture here. Because this thing is centered, because when we look at the name Christian in the Bible, under the Greek it means a follower of Christ. So you're going to be punished just for being a follower of Christ. You're not going to be having to do a thing. You ain't got to rob, steal. It's because you are a follower of Christ. This whole world, the vision is becoming more single on Christians. Yeah, amen. And you're going to see it before Christ comes. When that Antichrist arrives, who do you think he's going to have the center focus on? Christian. Who do you think going to be the ones that's going to reject his offer of the mark? Christians. So who do you think he's going to want to have killed? Christians. Okay? So who do you think he's going to have the whole world looking at as being evil people? Christians. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to the living God. Thank you, Lord. Now, I want to read an excerpt from, and I told you, I just got this magazine that's entitled The Voice of the Martyrs. And some of you who may have listened to the other broadcast, I forgot which broadcast it was on, you heard Brother Eddie Lee mentioning this book, The Voice of the Martyrs. And the Voice of the Martyrs here, especially those of our brothers and sisters, I told you, that's going through in other countries. Yeah, you really need to get this. American Christian, here it is. You really need to get this and read this. And look at where you at now to where they at now, okay? And when you see that, still you try to show me how here in America we're facing the same level of persecution that they are in other countries. Now, you prove that to me, okay? See, we're using that like we're going through the same level. And I'm not here to promote the people in other countries, say they're better people than us. No, I'm telling you that we're not going through the same level, okay? But we're approaching this level here in America. It's approaching. If you look at what's happening, these off-the-wall laws they come in with and this stuff, you will see what I'm talking about. Amen? Now, in this book called The Voice of the Martyrs, and one of the articles in here in this book is titled Forgiving Her Husband's Killers, okay? And I want to read a little of this to you right now. It says, though it had been more than 10 years since her husband was murdered by Fulani Islamic militants, Alice Bulos relives the pain of that day every time she hears about a new attack. This is what she said. When I hear the sound of a gun, I panic, she said. Alice and her family was asleep when men with covered faces stormed into their home on January the 13th, 2011 in Nigeria's Plateau State. After calling her husband by name, the men shot him as he opened the bedroom door. Alice, who recognized one of the attackers as a neighbor, tried to stop her husband's bleeding as he lay crumpled on the floor, and their five terrified children cried in the corner. We got to pray for the children as well. When the Nigerian military arrived in their village about an hour later, they took Alice's husband to the hospital, but it was too late. He died on the way to surgery. In Nigeria, they call it a crisis. Attacks by Boko Haram terrorists and Fulani Islamic militants are so common that everyone understands crisis to mean a village raid or a terrorist bombing. Tens of thousands of Nigerians have been killed and fighting between rebels and government soldiers since 2011. While many of those killed have been militants or soldiers, Christians have been specifically targeted in raids on Christian villages or churches. And like Alice, many of the victims knew their attackers. Okay? Did you hear that? If I go and read just a little bit further, some of the people that's going to be persecute you is going to be people you know. Okay? See, some of you may be carrying the mentality, okay, I may go through persecution. You know, somebody I don't know. No. Some of these people, you're going to know who they are. Period. And just like I read to you, these men had their face covered. Okay? Everybody's not going to care about who you see. They're not going to be covering their face when they come at you. Now, it says, after losing her husband, Alice struggled to provide for her children, remaining in the home she had shared with her husband and continuing to farm their plot of land. In Nigeria culture, married women become the responsibility of their husband and his family, receiving little to no support from their own family. Thousands of Christians, widows in northern Nigeria, suffer the same disregard after their husbands are killed in Islamic attacks. Do you hear that? A year and a half after the attack that killed Alice's husband, the Fulani Islamic militants struck again. She and her children managed to flee on foot, evading attackers who were blocking the road to prevent the villagers' escape. Alice had difficulty finding a place for her family to stay, but they eventually settled in the hallway of an older woman's home. They lived there until another Christian family offered them a small apartment behind their house. Alice was overwhelmed by the burden of raising her children on her own. She said she spent a lot of time crying and sleeping. Then one day in 2013, she reassessed her life. I am not dead yet, she thought, so she asked God to give her wisdom. She began working odd jobs to support her family, saving a 10% tithe before buying food, still honoring God. Clothes for the children and fertilizer for the farm. She used the money she made from farming to pay for her children's education until 2015 when Fulani Islamic militants destroyed all her crops. Look at what she's going through. Look what that family. Hoya Bashita. Hallelujah. That Christian family. Look where they go. Her husband got killed by Islamic terrorists. She said they called him by name. They got it broken. They had called him by name. And when he opened the bedroom door, boom, right in front of her and their kids. Do you hear this, people? This is not, I repeat, this is not a joke. Ain't nothing funny about this. You got men that has hate in their hearts simply because you are a Christian. But you know, she still went on to honor God. She, even when she was working, and you know, she got all the responsibility now, yeah, falling on her now since her husband dead. Got to take care of the children, doing all this, doing it. And so she's still on a 10% tithing. Still good. She could have been bitter and said, I ain't giving the Lord nothing. Had my husband killed, and I got to do this thing myself. She could have did that. And see, some Christians, sad to say, due to persecution, when they have losses, they're going to turn away from God. I'm telling you what I know. You just don't let it be you. Now, you can ignore the message I'm bringing. That's your choice. Brother Nate is not going to be on this air and tell me, say, give me your name so I can really give you a talking to. No, I'm not doing that. I'm doing my job right now is giving this message. Now, you can reject it. You can go with your nose in the air, your chest stuck out. You can say, Brother Nate's crazy. I'm not listening to him anymore. Get this. It is your preference. That's your choosing. Brother Nate was not instructed by Jesus to get your name so I can give you a good tongue lashing. That ain't what he called me to do. He said, tell you and let you choose. So if you choose to bypass this information or to say, if you choose to reject this information, what I feel is bad for you, but that's your choice. That's your choice. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I think as I get ready to close this, And Lord said the same, I'll be doing part two tomorrow. I think about our brothers and sisters in the other country, what they go through. I've been thinking about that many times. And my heart goes out to them. We got the people over here. We got to pray for them. You know, while you out there trying to run with the Joneses, at least throw some prayer in there for them. Okay? Let's quit being so selfish and tied up within ourselves. We got to think about them too. These are brothers and sisters in Christ. They believing in the same Lord Jesus Christ you believing in. They're claiming the same Lord Jesus Christ you claim. Okay? So we got to think about them too. Amen? That's why, as I close with this, this is one of the reasons why the Lord been sending the Elijah to gather the faithful. The faithful, they're going to make up the bride, people. That's who's going to make up the bride, the faithful. See, in order for you to be faithful, you got to be tested in the area and still stand in the way of right. Just like for a man to prove his faithfulness to his wife, he got to suffer. It got to be something that comes his way to test him or to tempt him. Amen? Where there's other women flirting themselves and throwing themselves out in front of him, or where he's given opportunity to do stuff that will put him away from his wife. But if he stand through that and say, no way, then he would be proving his faithfulness to his wife. He'd be proving his faithfulness to his wife, like maybe she have a little mishap or something like that, a little mistake or something she's done wrong, something like that, and he don't be so quickly to throw her away to the dungeon. Okay? You get that? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the blessed word of the Lord. I thank you for blessing me to be able to do this broadcast and keeping me and strengthening me in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so, Lord, you are worthy to be praised and to be glorified and to be lifted up. I praise your holy name. So, Lord God, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given. I pray that I have presented to a way that's pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Glory be to God. Well, don't forget, later on today, our brother Eddie Lee will be back with tonight on the Full Gospel Message with Brother Eddie Lee at 7 p.m. tonight, as well as Lord say the same tomorrow night. And Lord say the same tomorrow, I will be back, part two of the Second Century Church Facing Persecution, part two. Glory be to God. So, once again, this is Brother Nate with Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.